Father, we approach your word this morning with a desire to learn, but not just to learn, to be transformed, Lord, to be encouraged, to be filled with your spirit. So glorify your name, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Excuse me a minute. Take thy foot out of thy mouth. What a sermon title. Proverbs 15, verses 1 to 2. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Just turn me down a bit, please, Mark. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure at some point or another in our lives, we have all experienced the power of the tongue. I remember as a kid, you probably heard it yourself, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt me or harm me. And there could be nothing further from the truth. In fact, when you consider what the Bible says, that the tongue is like a rudder, a small rudder that steers a great big ship. When you consider just an ill-timed word and the kind of damage that it can do, the kind of way that people can be wounded, it's sad to think that at some point or another, we've all probably partaken in an ill-timed word, an unkind word, an angry word, a discouraging word. And thinking over this period of Lent, this period before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It's about dying to self. And what does that mean as a Christian? What does that mean to die to self? Well, it means that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It means that I start to examine my life and my walk. I start to think about the words that come out of my mouth. But according to Scripture, they don't come out of the mouth, they come out of the heart. Jesus said, a man brings out of the good that's stored up in his heart. So a question for us this morning, are our words timely? Are our words refreshing? Are our words timely? Are they refreshing? Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Proverbs 25:11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. You know, every day, or as best as I can every day, I always ask the Lord to give me opportunities to speak. But it's opportunities to speak words of encouragement, to speak words of life, to give a kind word, a smile. Something that brings healing. In fact, Proverbs 12:18 says this, the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. I'm just asking ourselves a question this morning. How often do we employ this to be a great blessing to someone? It might be a neighbor who's been poorly, a husband who's been miserable, a wife who needs encouragement. How often do we think about the words that come from the heart? Kind words build and strengthen, they heal us, encourage us, they enlighten us, they guide us. So we're blessed when we allow these kind of words to come and to flow from within our hearts. But just because we've said something doesn't mean that we've communicated properly. If you think about the age of social media and Facebook and everything else, you'd think we'd become experts at communication. Actually, we're awful. The world, in many ways, it's worse for it in many ways. You've got things, you know, fake news and when you see, you know, sometimes on Facebook, you see the arguments that are going to and fro between people. It's sad. Communication is a multifaceted thing. We have to think, how do we communicate? I remember years ago, Solana sort of saying to me, Simon, sometimes the way you speak is very harsh. And I said, no, it's not. But I had to listen, because even if it were not the case, Solana feels that sometimes my words are harsh. So it's the way that I deliver my words. When they come from a heart of love, when they come from a heart that wants to encourage and be truthful, then hopefully the delivery of that word will come out the right way. Poor communication leads to misunderstanding, so we need to think about how we talk to others. I remember when Pepsi Cola started marketing its products in China, I think it was about 10 or more than 10 years ago, they translated their slogan, Pepsi brings you back to life. But in Chinese, the slogan literally meant, Pepsi brings your ancestors back from the grave. And that's true. Pepsi brings your ancestors back from the grave. That's a bit grim, isn't it? Talk about miscommunication. I want to tell you a very amusing story. I'm not sure if you've heard this, but maybe some of you haven't. There was once a rather old-fashioned lady who was planning a couple of weeks holiday camping. She's also quite delicate and elegant with her language. And one day she wrote a letter to a particular campsite and asked for a reservation. She wanted to make sure the camping site was fully equipped, but didn't quite know how to ask about the toilet facilities. She just couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in the letter. After much deliberation, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term bathroom commode. But when she wrote that, she still thought she was being a little bit forward. So she rewrote the entire letter and referred to the bathroom commode simply as the BC. So she wrote in her letter, does the site have its own BC? Well, the owner of the camping site wasn't as old-fashioned as the lady, and when he read the letter, he couldn't figure out what she was talking about. BC? It stumped him. He showed the letter to a few other campers, but they couldn't figure out what the lady meant either. The owner finally came to the conclusion that the lady must be asking about the location of the local Baptist church. So he sat down and wrote the following reply. Dear Margaret, I take pleasure of informing you that the BC is located 9 miles north of the campground and is capable of seating 250 people at a time. I admit it's quite a distance away if you're in the habit of going regularly. But no doubt you'll be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunch along and make a day of it. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago, and it was so crowded we had to stand up the whole time we were there. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly, but as we grow older, it seems to be more and more of an effort, particularly in cold weather. When you come to the campground, perhaps I could go with you the first time before you go. When you go, sit with you and who knows, make a regular visit myself. I found that very amusing. It was actually, I think it was in one of the Daily Bread booklets. But, you know, we can really miscommunicate sometimes, even with family. And sometimes we think we've communicated and we haven't. Sometimes we let our mouth run off with ourselves, or we don't listen to what we're actually saying. And it's just sad when we can undo so much good work with an ill-timed word. I don't know about you, you know, as a husband, you know, I can have a great day and something can go wrong, whether it's the kids or, you know, Solana comes in and, I don't know, she doesn't appreciate the dinner I've cooked or whatever it can be, some random thing. And all of a sudden, just one ill-timed word. Well, don't you like it then? What do you mean I don't like it? I'm tired. I've been at work all day. Oh, well, me too, you know. And before you know it, one ill-timed word can become a disaster. And you hear couples say, well, I don't know what we fell out about. I don't quite know why we're upset, but we're upset. And we need to think about the way we communicate with others. Proverbs 15, verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. There was a pastor once of a small church who had quite a critical lady in his congregation. And on the day of the annual church picnic, it suddenly occurred to him that nobody had called and personally invited her to attend. I don't know why. He dialed a phone number, and when she answered, he confessed the oversight. I do hope it isn't too late for you to attend, he asked. She replied, well, it is too late to say you're sorry now because I've already prayed for rain. You know, when words are miscommunicated, unfortunately, some people take offence very easily. People can take offence very easily these days. We need to think about what we want to say often before we say it. We tell our children to count to 10 before, you know, if they're angry. Count to 10 before you... But as we get older, because of our opinions, sometimes we're just in the same sort of danger as a child. The Bible wants us to be different. God wants us to be different. In Philippians 2:14-16, we read, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or laboured in vain. You know, the Bible puts it even stronger terms. James 1:26, it says, if anyone considers himself religious and he doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Wow. Just an ill-timed word can undo so much. When I was a kid, quite a few times, I was threatened that my mouth would be washed out with a bar of soap. And I think that was probably picked up from their parents who said, watch it, or wash your mouth out with a bar of soap. But you know, the problem isn't the mouth. It's the heart. Because Jesus said, all the issues of life come from the heart. So when we speak to family, when we speak to our friends, we need to think, what am I bringing out of this heart? I was in Tesco the other day and I was looking at all the new book releases and magazines, and I get the boys Match of the Day magazine. They like all their footballs, you know. And I saw these gossip magazines. I couldn't believe how many there were. I mean, I'd stopped counting how many magazines there are dedicated to vicious gossip. It's unbelievable to think that we have become so familiar with shame that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of magazines every week are sold on the basis of being cruel to someone, or someone's been cruel to someone else. Gossip has become quite popular. In fact, we watch TV shows that are filled with gossip. Horrendous to think. No Christian should take this lightly. So if we're thinking about Lent, don't bother about giving up chocolate unless you think chocolate gets in your way of getting closer to God. Maybe some of you eat so much chocolate it does. Nom, 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 nom. But think about what goes on in the heart. Because if Easter means anything, it means death and it means new life. And that should be as true for us as it was for Jesus. Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. We all need to be fed with good words. A kind word from a husband or a wife, a gentle word to our children, a thoughtful word to a friend, a kind welcome to a visitor. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Years ago, I saw a clip, and I can't believe it, but I actually watched some of, Big Brother. I thought these people are insane. They're absolutely mental. And the millions upon millions of viewers who were drawn in to observe pretty much the worst of human nature. It's heartbreaking to think that we're so foolish in keeping our own hearts clean. A very pious woman approached a famous person called Daniel Webster when his unabridged dictionary was published, the Webster Dictionary. And she said to him, "I'm shocked that you printed the definition of so many nasty words." His classic reply was, "Madam, I'm shocked that you took the time to look them all up." What did Jesus say about talking to your brother about the 4x2 plank of wood? In fact, he said, "Brother, this is the hypocrisy. This is not what let me just remove the speck. There's just a little, there you are." He's not bothered about the speck. He's taking the mick. Jesus said, the person who thinks that he's been so self-righteous to remove a speck from his brother's eye has got a massive plank of wood in his own. Luke 6:45, what I've been telling you about what Jesus said, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. This is the problem that we have at the moment with some folk who are standing in places of authority, like Mr. Trump. He's been a foolish man. He might have good intentions, but unfortunately what he's done is he's turned so many people against him because he's getting involved and engaging in folly. And Twitter. And sometimes you read his stuff and it's like, no, 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 no. And it's heartbreaking because if he does have any good intentions, if he does want to help Christians, if he does call himself a Christian, he needs to do away with gossip and conjecture. He needs to look at his own heart. He needs to get off Twitter. Yeah? That wasn't a party political broadcast. But I'm just using that as an example. The tongue is neither friend nor foe. It's merely a messenger that delivers what's in the heart. So how do you tame your tongue? Sometimes it can be pride. Who is this young upstart? It's quite funny, actually. I say to Solana, I'm closer to 50 than I am 40, so I'm probably maybe a little bit older than a couple of you realize, but it makes me smile when people say, "Oh, young man, how are you, young man?" And it makes me smile. But when I first started pastoring in 2003, I think some folk took quite offense to it that I was a young man. I couldn't help that. I couldn't help how old I was. But, you know, sometimes we're prejudiced for all sorts of reasons. It can be age or color, accent. I remember one lady falling out with me when I first started pastoring in Blackpool in 2003. One lady really disliked me because I was from down south. And she used to look at me and she used to say, "I don't know what you're saying." But you know, the sad thing was, there was anger behind it. There was anger. And I said to you last week about the man who's a nice man, but he just threw his dummy out of the pram when he said, "If you move that pulpit, I'm leaving the church." What a shame to have undone all that potential good work over years by just taking an offence so easily. I hope not, but what happens if I unintendedly offend you. You have to ask the question, did he mean it? Has he got it in for me? Has he been listening to someone else who said something about me? Know thine own heart before you judge someone else's. Know thine own heart. Let us all be quick to hear and slow to speak. Proverbs. I love the Proverbs. I really do. Proverbs 17, 27 to 28. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. And I've mentioned before, I think, when a lady came to my office and she had so many problems, I couldn't get a word in edgeways, and she rattled on and rattled on, and after the best part of an hour, she said, thank you so much for your advice. I feel so much better. I don't remember saying a thing. You know, an interesting observation when I was thinking about this message, I thought about the fruit of the Spirit. All the fruits of the Spirit are visual. They're active. You see, talk is cheap. We have to back it up by the way that we live and the way that we love one another. All the fruits of the Spirit teach and demonstrate and communicate God's love. So talk is cheap. There's no point saying that we're religious or we're a Christian if we don't demonstrate it. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Hopefully one of the benefits of coming to church is that we go away encouraged and challenged. We go away refreshed and equipped, because that's the mission field out there. In closing, when I first started preaching years ago, someone pointed out to me, Simon, you keep saying finally. Finally, finally. And sometimes I think I'd say finally about 6 or 7 times because I get so excited teaching. Oh, I just got to tell them something else. Oh, there's just one other thing. And you know, if you can imagine going to an eat-all-you-can buffet and you're looking at all these different dishes and you start off with a small plate and then you're feeling a bit braver. Now, the reason you had a small plate in the first place is to say, well, I'm not eating much. I don't need to eat much. I'm being healthy. But then you go up for another plate. And before you know it, you're absolutely stuffed as a pig. And you're sitting there and someone says, are you having any dessert? And you go, yes. And you have dessert. And all of a sudden that culinary experience has been ruined because your eyes were bigger than your belly. Sometimes in our zeal, even as Christians, when we're sharing the Lord with someone, we can be like a Gatling gun. And the person's like, oh, I was only asking a question. 45 minutes later, you're still giving your testimony and they're like, they're on the gas and air. We just need to think about how we spend time with others. Do we listen as much as we give advice? Finally. You can make more friends in 2 weeks by becoming a good listener than you can in 2 years trying to get other people interested in you. This is a really important lesson. Just think about this again. Let me read it again. You can make more friends in 2 weeks by becoming a good listener than you can in 2 years trying to get other people interested in you. As you know, I write. And what I've noticed with other writers and other authors, is that they're constantly shouting to get their book heard. And I do little updates on Facebook, oh, I've got this good review and this, that and the other. And it's all a bit of marketing. But I have to tell you, it's really cheesy. It's one of the most cringeworthy things to hear someone constantly shout about their achievements. And it's a really hard balance for me, because people say, well, you know, if you really want your books to be seen, you have to market them and this, that and the other. But I can't stand it. In fact, I'm getting to a place where I feel like almost giving up writing, because I don't like marketing. And that's a shame. Because in this day and age, if you don't shout loud enough, you don't get seen. But I've decided this. Instead of shouting, I'm just going to let my work do the job. And hopefully, God will bless that. Amen?